from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. And now a reading from the Gospel according to John. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Friends, these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this first Sunday of Advent, a season of preparation, a season of waiting, a season of adventure, we gather here that our hearts and our minds and our spirits will be open to hear what you would have us hear this day. And so, God, may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week, as we reflect on our theme, which is peace, so when we think about the Advent wreath, right, there are four candles on the outside and one in the middle. The one in the middle is the Christ candle that we will not light until Christmas Eve as we remember the birth of our Savior. But each week we reflect on some aspect of this life of living as disciples of Jesus Christ. And today we will reflect on the thought of peace. I heard something a clergy friend shared a little later of what does this mean? And oftentimes we think of the season of Advent, of getting to Christmas, right? Of getting to Christmas Eve so we can remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. And that is absolutely right. And we are also people that anticipate the coming of Christ again, that Christ came into the world and promised to return at some point. And so we wait in this in-between time. And so for us, the season of Advent is also for us to open our hearts and our minds to pay attention to where we see God at work in the world. Where is God showing up for us every single day, right? So just keep that in mind. Where are we waiting for God to show up every day? And sometimes in our regular lives, it's hard, right? I think I've made it pretty clear, and some of you know my answer to this, and some of you may not know, but if someone asks you, how are you doing, what do we typically say? I'm fine. Right? Am I right? And we have tried to say, we can't say that because probably in all likelihood, you're not fine, but you don't want to talk about it. You're feeling a whole bunch of things. And how do you even begin? And the other question is, does that person even want to hear what I would have to say in this moment, right? So we, as you know, followers of Jesus and people here committed in this community, have basically knocked the words, I'm fine, out of our vocabulary. Because we're not all fine, and we're going to be honest, and we're going to be open, and we're going to be vulnerable with one another, right? And so that brings me to our movie of the week. It's A Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And just to set it up, you know, George Bailey is this main character, and we see kind of like these snippets and moments of his life, and because of an accident with his brother, he loses hearing in one ear. But he is this one who has great adventures. He wants to travel the world, and he wants to get out of Bedford Falls. And he is imagining a life that is so much bigger than what he feels can be found in his hometown. And there are moments and scenes where he makes decisions that take him down a certain path. And for those of you, many of you have probably seen this movie, but he ultimately gets to this really low place where he's like, why? Why all of this? Right? And then we know that there's a turnaround, and then there's a different end to the story. But there was this particular scene where it really narrates all of the things he was wrestling with in his life. And so I'd like to share that clip with you. Henry Potter is the bank owner who basically manages almost everything in the town of Bedford Falls. And George Bailey has been summoned to his office. So take a look.
Thank you, sir. Quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
You like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly do you want to see me about?
Oh, George, now that's just what I like so much about you. George, I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town, but the Bailey Building alone. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it, or kill it, but I haven't been able to do it. You have been stopping me. In fact, you have beaten me, George. And as anyone in this county can tell you, that takes some doing. Now, take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan. I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, I have stated my side very frankly. Now, let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
Oh, 45. 45. Out of which, after supporting your mother and paying your bills, you're able to keep, say, 10 if you skimp. A child or two comes along and you won't even be able to save the 10. Now, if this young man at 28 was a common, ordinary yokel, I say he was doing fine. But George Bailey is not a common, ordinary yokel. He is an intelligent, smart, ambitious young man who hates his job, who hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. A young man who's been dying to get out on his own ever since he was born. A young man, the smartest one in the crowd, mind you. A young man who has to sit by and watch his friends go places because he's trapped. Yes, sir. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, or do I exaggerate?
Well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point? My point is I want to hire you.
Hire me?
I want you to manage my affairs, run my properties. George, I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
George Bailey. George Bailey, whose ship has just come in. Provided he has enough brains to climb aboard.
Holy mackerel. Well, how about the building and loan?
Oh, confounded man. Are you afraid of success? I'm offering you a 3 years contract at $20,000 a year starting today. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Well, Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if it would be possible for you to give me 24 hours to think it over.
Sure. You go on home and talk about it to your wife.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, then in the meantime, I'll draw up the papers.
All right, sir.
Okay, George.
Okay, Mr. Potter. All
right. So we'll find out what happens next when we watch the full-length feature film later on tonight. But what I wanted to capture here specifically was, here was George Bailey, who was called to the office of his arch nemesis, Truly, who he was fighting every step of the way, looking out for the best interests of the people of the town and in the community. And Potter basically narrates all of the doubts and things that were running through George's head, right? You could just tell on the look of his face. If we had asked him, "Hey, George, how are you?" Do you think he'd say he was fine? Probably not. And here was this person who was offering him everything he ever wanted, who saw him, saw the struggles, was able to articulate that. And George was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, just give me a moment to think about it," right? And then he shakes his hand. And then I think, how often, friends, does the world offer us things that almost seem too good to be true? What is it that the world is offering that might cost us too much of who we are? That we would lose ourselves in order to gain other things, whether it be material items or prestige or a better paying job or whatever that might be. But what is it that we would lose if we made that deal? We see this reflected in Scripture, and we can't be in the season of Advent without thinking about Lent and about thinking of Jesus. We know that Jesus himself was tempted by Satan at the very beginning of Lent. And it was, you know, and Jesus came back and said, "No, you shall not test the Lord your God. You cannot live on bread alone." There was a deep resonance of the trust of the goodness of God and not on his own understanding. And we know that George, I'll give you a sneak peek, basically says, "I don't need 24 hours. I don't need your offer, Mr. Potter." And he walks away. Because it would have compromised who he was fundamentally as an individual, about who he was. And I think that if he accepted that offer, he probably would have been riddled with guilt and more doubt and would have lost the peace of knowing that he hadn't sold his soul to the town bully. So friends, in this season, as we think about peace, sometimes it means that we have to make hard decisions, make hard choices. But if we choose something that pulls us away from what God intends for us in our life, then we lose the opportunity to experience the peace of Christ. We lose that relationship that God wants so much with us that God would send his Son into the world so that we would be able to experience the peace that surpasses all human understanding. And so in this day, I'm reminding you of our verse from Proverbs, to trust in the Lord. That when we are at a place where we need to make decisions or we're wrestling with choices or what the world is throwing at us, trust in God. And know that God will never leave us because Christ has promised us peace. Peace that I think we all need. Peace that the world needs. Peace that we're called to share with others who may not experience it yet for themselves. Friends, the world is going to tell you to seek so much. But here, I remind you to seek one thing. And that is Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.